On that day in the cottage, in the instant before he felt Paul's presence and looked up, his father's expression had been utterly open, washed with emotions like rain, some old love and loss. Paul saw it and longed to say something, to do something, anything that would make the world right. At the same time, he wanted to break away, to forget all their problems, to be free. He glanced away, and when he looked back, his father's expression was distant again, impassive. He might have been thinking of a technical problem with his film, or diseases of the bone, or lunch. A moment might be a thousand different things. "Hey," Duke said, pushing open the door. "You ever coming out or what?" Paul slipped the cool bills into his pocket and went back into the larger room. Two other boys had arrived, seniors, who hung out in the vacant lot across from the school during lunch, smoking. One of them had a six-pack and handed him a beer. And Paul almost said, "Let's go downstairs. Let's do this outside." But it was raining harder now, and the boys were older than he was, and bigger, too, so he just sat down and joined them. He gave Duke the money, and then the lit ember moved around the circle. Paul became fascinated with Duke's fingertips, how delicately they held the joint, remembering how they flew over the keys with wild precision. His father was meticulous, too. He mended people's bones, their bodies. "You feeling it?" Duke asked after a while. Paul heard him from a long way off, as if through water, past the distant whistle of a train. This time, there was no wild laughter, no giddiness, only a deep interior well through which he was falling. The well inside became part of the darkness outside, and he couldn't see Duke, and he was scared. "What's wrong with him?" someone asked, and Duke said, "He's just getting paranoid, I guess." And the words were so big they filled the room up and pressed him against the wall. Long rolls of laughter filled the room, and the faces of the others grew distorted with mirth. Paul couldn't laugh. He was frozen in place. His throat was dry, and he felt his hands getting too large for his body. And he studied the door as if at any moment his father might burst through, his anger shattering over them like waves. Then the laughter was gone, and the others were getting up. They were going through the drawers looking for food, but they only found his father's careful files. "Don't," he tried to say as the oldest one, the one with a beard, started pulling files out and opening them up. "Don't!" It was a scream inside his head, yet nothing came out of his mouth. The others were standing up now, too, taking out folder after folder, spreading the prints and the negatives so carefully arranged on the floor. "Hey," Duke said, turning to show him a glossy 8x10. "This you, Paul?" Paul sat very still, his arms folded around his knees, his breath a wild rush in his lungs. He didn't move. He couldn't.